You know, this. I don't think that this is something to necessarily be celebrated. Do what you got to do. I'd advise my kid to do the same thing. Meantime, we got to play with a backup quarterback here in a right. bowl game. There's nothing to celebrate.
Right. No, I agree totally. I respect his decision, but I mean, if he'd elected to have played, I would have said, you know what? Good for him. I respect that too. I wouldn't want my kid to play, but good for him if that's what he wants. It's his decision. I respect it either way. But celebrating it? No, I'm not celebrating it.
Let's. We'll have to argue with Pomp on Monday. We do that anyway, though, right?
No matter what. I think we need to ease up on
him. Oh, he's bringing food.
He's threatening, though, to, like, leave us because we're too rough on him.
Is he?
Yeah.
He threatened that to you?
Yeah, he has.
What'd he say?
Somebody tweeted to him, you know, why do you put up with that abuse from Cook and Starkey? You don't need the money. And he goes, trending in that direction.
Oh, Bob comes right back with it, Ron.
No, he brings it back.
He brings it back. Don't people paint him as a sympathetic character here. He walks right in, puts his feet up on the desk, and he'll deliver shots at us left and right.
No respect to anybody, in either of us in this room.
It's incredible. All right, so we'll see him on Monday. He's not going anywhere. Trust me on that one. In the meantime, let's bring on another close personal friend of the show, Mr. Johnny McGonigal from the Post-Gazette. We affectionately call him John Football. Hello, Dr. McGonigal. How are you?
I'm great, guys. How are you?
Pretty good. I never knew you were a golfer, but my friend Cale Berger tells me that. You any good?
Not really. I mean, I can hit the ball like pretty far. My short game is awful. So it's always fun when it takes you four to get in from 50 yards away. But yeah, no, I like to get out there, hit it around a bit.
How far can you hit it? Don't be bashful.
Yeah, I've hit a couple of 300-yard drives before. Not going to lie. With roll, you know, downhill, of course, so that helps.
Ron, are you buying this from John Football? 300-yard drives?
John is a sizable man. You know, he's got some girth.
John, is that an insult or a compliment?
He's got some strength behind him there.
I take that as a compliment.
Right. I didn't say fat pig. I said he's got some girth.
And he drives it 300. We're going to have to get out there, John. Will you pay if we go?
Absolutely.
My God, Ron. He'll do anything. He's going to pay for a golf round. Where should we go?
I don't think he wants to play
Oakmont?
With you. Everybody says they want to, but they all back out when the time comes.
Isn't that funny? When it comes to the moment of truth, they all back out.
When it comes to rug-cutting time.
Johnny, what do you make of this Kenny Pickett decision? I think that you were on the side of you thought he was going to play. I guess a lot of people did when he said he would after the bowl game. Ron and I both think we would advise our kid to do the same thing in this instance, however. But were you taken aback by his decision?
Not really. And look, after the ACC championship game, you know, I asked him, and it was moments after the game, I asked him if he had planned on playing in whatever postseason game at that point they didn't know it was the Peach Bowl. And he said he planned on playing. And I took that as what it was. You know, he planned on playing. But the reason why I asked at the time is because some players know they're not going to play in the bowl game. Some players know that's their last game in a pit uniform or whoever uniform. But Kenny apparently didn't, because he, you know, had days after it said that, like, he hasn't had that conversation with his parents yet. He hadn't had that conversation with Pat Narduzzi yet. So once that came out, and then obviously the Mark Whipple news a few days after the ACC championship, really once the Whipple news came out, I thought, okay, he's probably not going to play in this game. And that's kind of how it built for the last few days. There's that sneaking suspicion. I had a story ready to go last night for just whenever he made his announcement. So not necessarily surprised, a couple of days removed from that ACC championship game.
John, let me interrupt for a second, Joe. A little bit of breaking news with what we've talked about.
I saw it, yep.
Sean Payton now, the New Orleans Saints coach, tested positive for COVID.
He was one of the first notable people to test positive.
He got it, right. So I guess he's got it again, and I can imagine he will be coaching Sunday night against Tampa Bay. Sorry, John. Go ahead, Joe. I guess it's my turn. It's my turn. We know Kenny Walker isn't going to play for Michigan State. Are you hearing any other Pitt players perhaps may opt out? I don't know who else is considered to be a fairly high round draft choice next spring.
I don't think any opt outs. I think one to keep an eye on would be Damari Mathis, the corner. if he's, you know, healthy enough to play, because he kind of pulled up in the ACC championship game and was hurt. And he's a guy who will be drafted in April. So we'll see on that front. But I don't think you're going to see any other opt-outs on Pitt's end. Kenny was really the one high-profile guy that you look at and say, okay, it would make sense if he doesn't play, not only from a Mark Whipple standpoint, but from a, you know, secure the bag standpoint, right? Secure that first-round grade and don't go out there and get hurt.
John, do you think this is going to be happening more and more, and what do you think this does to the bowl game? I'll be honest with you. I have no real interest in watching Pitt and Michigan State without the two best players, and I don't know how other people around the country feel. What's going to happen to the future of these bowl games if kids start to opt out?
You know, obviously everyone would be more interested if Kenny Pickett plays. I would be more interested in the game if Kenny Pickett was playing. But I am genuinely interested to see how Nick Patty or whoever ends up starting Kenny's place does, because you can use it as a springboard into 2022 with life without Kenny Pickett. And the other thing that I've seen too, guys, is, you know, I've seen some comments, whether it's Twitter or whatever, of, you know, hey, this is the biggest game of the year and Kenny bails on his team. I would argue that the ACC championship is the biggest game of Pitt's season, regardless of the stage of the Pitt, of the Peach Bowl. Obviously, it's a big opportunity for them, you know, going up unopposed on national television in Atlanta at the Falcon Stadium against the highest-ranked team they've played all season. I get that. But, you know, Kenny Pickett came back to win an ACC championship. I think it's kind of fitting that he goes out that way, winning in Charlotte and getting the curtain call and all that kind of stuff. I respect that decision that he made. And in terms of the future of the Bulls, yeah, you're going to see this happen. This has been happening for years now. And while I think there was more of a contentious kind of approach to it in terms of just accepting players doing this, I think it's more widely accepted now. And, you know, I think one solution to this would be a playoff, you know, the playoff expanding and going to 12 teams, because you bet if, you know, Pitt was in the playoff and facing Georgia as a 12 seed this year, which is what they would be if the 12-team proposal that was brought up in June was in effect, you know, Kenny Pickett would be playing in that game.
Are you sure of that, John? Do you think if you're Kenny Pickett and you go to a 12-team playoff, that star kids that are going to be drafted in the NFL want to play up to three more games? I don't. I don't think they do want to play up to three more games.
I think there's something you said for playing for a national title. So I think that would – I don't think Kenny Pickett would not play in a playoff. Or a player like Kenneth Walker, if you know, Michigan State was in, I think he would play in a playoff. I mean, there's something different about – you know, playing for a national title versus, you know, granted it is a New Year's Six Bowl, and like I said, big stage and everything. But when Pitt fans look back on this season, even if they won the Peach Bowl, I think they would look and point to the ACC championship game over the Peach Bowl. I agree with that totally.
My point is, do you think these kids want to play three more games, or do they want to get on to their preparations from the NFL draft? I told the story about covering a Florida State game years ago before there was even a playoff, and Warrick Dunn, the running back, saying, I don't want to play in a playoff. I want to get ready for the NFL draft. I can't believe more star kids wouldn't feel that way.
I think the other angle to this, though, is, you know, yes, it's more games, but I think if they were to implement a 12-team playoff, and really they should, they would have to take away a regular season game. I don't see them just keep stacking these games. I think you take away whether it's a conference game or a non-conference game in the regular season, because you would need a conference championship game to determine who gets to the playoff. I think you take away at least the game. So I get that it's more games and everything, but I don't know. I just don't think you would see guys bail on a playoff or on a chance to win a national title.
Yeah, it's a good question. I tend to, and I've been leaning this way for a while. It's just it seems like odd reasoning. I realize if you win three games, plus you're going against top-notch competition, like the best pass rushes in the country, you're not playing in this game to protect the windfall that's coming your way. But you'd be willing to put your body on the line for as many as three games against the best competition in the land for a national title. You'd be willing to risk tens of millions of dollars for that? I don't know, man. I think the expanded playoff, you will see stars say, what am I going to do here? Play 15 games? 15 games?
I mean, guys at Alabama play 15 games every year, right, when they make it to the national title. I think you will get guys who in that 12-team playoff would be like, you know what, it's not worth it, whether it's a running back who has a lot of carries, a lot of mileage on his tires, or you know, I don't know, an offensive lineman who doesn't want to get rolled up on. I think you'll get the occasional guy, but I think I really do think that, it's an easy solution for a lot of these guys who are opting out to say, hey, look, you know, I really don't think these guys would want to bail on the chance to win a national title regardless of the games. Because you're seeing it now. Like, you know, Alabama, Clemson, whoever is in the national title game is playing 15 games a season.
All right, well, then I guess they'd be playing 18 games or 17 games if that's correct. Anyhow, John, what's the story with Mark Whipple leaving? My idea and what I'm hearing is it was Pat Narduzzi fatigue, that he was tired of working for him and that he didn't have a contract extension after last season, so he's not bailing on his contract for another job. He took the job in Nebraska. What are you hearing about that situation?
Yeah, I think it's a little bit of everything, right? The Narduzzi factor, just the contract running up. There was kind of the understanding that even going back to August training camp that this would be Mark Whipple's last year. And I think a big part of it is, you know, go out, you know, kind of last year with Kenny Pickett, and I thought he was going to retire. You know, 64 years old, I thought he was going to, because, you know, his family's in Arizona. He loves golf. I thought he was going to just retire, call it a career, go out on top. But maybe this season, you know, kind of gave him new life, kind of gave him new perspective, a refreshing perspective on the industry, on the coaching industry, and wanted to keep going. It's a tough one because it did come as a surprise to Kenny Pickett and, you know, players and coaches in the facility that he resigned before the bowl game and did not retire. I don't know. It's one that we haven't been able to talk to Mark Whipple. And I don't even know if Nebraska's reporters have been able to talk to him yet. So we'll see if any more details come out on that in the coming days. But his departure was expected. Just the way that it happened and the timing of it was surprising.
Is Narduzzi a tough guy to work for? What do you hear?
That's tough to say. I guess it depends on who you ask. Narduzzi has gone through a lot of offensive coordinators. Sean Watson, you know, at the end of 2018, that was before I was covering the team, obviously, but they needed an offensive switch after that season, you know, only scoring however many points and putting up however many yards in the AC championship game in that blowout loss to Clemson, even though that running game got them to an AC Coastal title, they needed to change things up. He has gone through some coordinators, and, you know, that happens in college football in a way too, especially if you're a guy who's been at a program for so long. You know, he's going to be going into his eighth year in 2022, and it sounds like he's going to get an extension too. So we'll see what they do with the offensive coordinator spot here moving forward. There's an internal candidate in Brandon Marion, or they could look externally as well.
John, what are you expecting in the Peach Bowl? Is it going to be Nick Patty? What do you expect? Do you feel like the team will play well for him and with him?
Yeah, I think it'll be Nick Patty. That's what, you know, every indication this season is pointing to. He was Kenny Pickett's immediate backup. He played well when he was asked to this season. And then even, going back to the spring game, I know you can only put so much stock in that. But he is a talented guy. And, look, he has a lot of weapons around him. Jordan Addison, the Blitnikoff Award winner, is still there. You know, Gavin Bartholomew and Lucas Krull at tight end, still there. Jared Wayne at wide receiver. A running game that has been reliable when need be with Israel Benekanda, Rodney Hammond, and Vincent Davis. So he has a lot of pieces around him, and there's a lot of senior leadership on this team, especially on the defense, a defense that has been playing well the last few games. And I think going into this game, obviously Pitt is no longer the favorite to beat Michigan State, but I think they still have a pretty good shot.
Who's the next quarterback going to be here, Johnny? Is it going to be an incumbent? Has Pitt been nosing around at all in the transfer portal? Do you think they're comfortable with either an incoming, somebody in one of their recent classes, an incumbent, or no?
Yeah, that's kind of the big question right now. Is it Nick Patty? Is it Davis Bevel? You know, Nate Yarnell, the true freshman quarterback, has played well on scout team this year, but they are looking into the portal. There is interest in Texas A&M transfer Zach Calzada, who went to the portal on Monday. He was obviously, his big claim to fame this season was upsetting Alabama, throwing three touchdowns and 285 yards in that game. They've also hosted Chuba Purdy, who was a Florida State transfer, who Pitt was recruiting before he went to Florida State, former four-star kid, a freshman. So they are looking in the portal. They do have a lot of options in their building right now. You know, Pickett aside, they've got four scholarship quarterbacks in the building right now. So, yeah, that's I wrote about that today for the Post-Gazette, that this, you know, kind of what next, right? Like, what now that Kenny Pickett is gone? And I think Nick Patty has an opportunity here in the Peach Bowl if he's the guy to, you know, really put a stamp on things and maybe, you know, stake a claim to that job going into the offseason. But I do expect some movement there, too.
All right, John, who do you got in the big game tonight, Toledo or Middle Tennessee?
Well, that game's going on right now, right? I think it's
It is on. It's 14-7 Toledo. I missed it. Okay, let me rephrase it. Who do you got in the big game tonight, Coastal Carolina or Northern Illinois?
Give me Northern Illinois in an upset. I think Northern Illinois is like an 11-point underdog. Yeah, I know that there's some hype for Grayson McCall coming back and playing for Coastal, but give me Northern Illinois.
Well, John, we know you're John Football. Are you watching Middle Tennessee Toledo right now? Will you be watching these games tonight? Will you be watching Western Kentucky and Appalachian State tomorrow?
Absolutely. Western Kentucky, Appalachian State, that's a great game. App State has 10 wins this year. Western Kentucky with Bailey Zappi at quarterback and Jarrett Stearns at wide receiver. That's going to be a fun game.
Now he's showing off, Joe. Now he's showing off. Joe, are you going to be watching UTEP and Fresno tomorrow?
Ron, I wouldn't miss it for the world. Johnny, I got a question for you. Our conversation here sparked my interest in Pitt's future non-conference schedules because I don't think they'll ever have one as easy as this year, an overall schedule. Were they supposed to? Okay, forget that. They're at Western Michigan next September. Is that unusual to sign a home and home with that low profile of a school?
It is, but it's at the very least a money saver because, you know, instead of paying a MAC school, what, like $1 million or something to come and play in your stadium and that's it, the home and home, from what I've seen on the contract, it kind of negates that. And there's just, hey, you know, you come play us and we'll go play you. That deal was made before I was on the beat, so I don't know the inner workings behind it completely. But that's my understanding of it. Yeah, it's it happens here and there, but it's not totally normal.
I'll say, Ron, can you imagine other high-profile schools going on the road to play a MAC school?
I can't imagine Alabama going to Western Michigan or something. No, it's interesting.
So they have West Virginia. That's a beautiful thing. That's what should happen every year, Johnny.
Where is that one at next year?
That's here. They should open with West Virginia every single year. Don't get me started on the backyard brawl, but I'm glad it's coming back for four more years. That's a beautiful thing, Johnny. Then they got Tennessee coming here. Then they go on the road to Kalamazoo to face Western Michigan. And then they got Rhode Island coming here. I love that schedule. I love the fact that it opens with the backyard brawl.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting. And I know right now when you just look ahead to the future schedule, it says Saturday, but I wouldn't be surprised if that backyard brawl game is on a Thursday night on ESPN by itself. I think it'd be pretty cool. But yeah, you go with the West Virginia and then Tennessee coming back here. That was a really fun game down in Knoxville this season. And then, in Kalamazoo after that. And then I believe Rhode Island, I'm pretty sure Pat Narduzzi coached there before. So there might be some connection there. So, yeah, very intriguing non-conference slate before what I think is a relatively speaking, a light ACC schedule. In the Atlanta crossover, you play at Louisville and then Syracuse rivalry game. So, yeah, it'll be an interesting 2022 slate, and who knows who will be the quarterback. It feels like one of three or four guys at this point.
Your golfing partner, Cale Berger, has just informed me that Miami played at Appalachian State a couple of years ago. Interesting little tidbit, huh?
They did, yeah. And look, there have been – I can't tell you the games off the top of my head right now. I know I was showing off earlier. I can't show off now, but I know that it has happened where – Power Five teams have gone to Group of Five schools for home and homes.
Not ideal, though, Johnny, right? Not ideal because it's a lose-lose there. You're supposed to win, but you're going into a hostile environment to play that school.
Yeah, not only that, but the way the schedule shapes up, too, is, like we mentioned, you get West Virginia, right off the bat, a rivalry game, and then you got Tennessee coming in, obviously SEC talent and a team that you were in a close game with this season, a high-tempo offense, and then you go on the road, just the timing of it is rough. So I'm intrigued by that those opening three games, and we'll see what happens. It's definitely not ideal going on the road to a Group of Five team after hosting two Power Five teams at home in the non-conference.
When are you leaving for Atlanta?
Day after Christmas. So on the night of the 26th, because they start doing coordinator and player interviews 27th, 28th, 29th down there, and then game on the 30th.
What kind of beer are you going to drink there?
Whatever hazy IPAs they have on draft, we'll see.
You think Johnny's a beer snob, Bron? He doesn't sound like he likes old school.
Nah, he lost me when he started showing off about the Appalachian State players. He lost me with that one.
Thank you, Johnny.
Absolutely. Thanks, guys.
He's the best, isn't he?
Knows a little too much about some of those things.
Johnny Football, he was a great guest all year long. All right, Ron, I want to take you around the NFL schedule. May I next? We'll take a look ahead to week whatever it is in the NFL.
That would be great.
You can text us on the Edgar Snyder & Associates fan text line, 412-928-9370. Edgar Snyder & Associates reminds you to text responsibly. Follow us on Twitter at 937TheFan, driven by Jim Shorkey Kia in Wexford, North Huntington, and Uniontown, Pittsburgh's number one Kia dealer. Visit at ShorkeyKia.com. And right now, the time is 1:23, brought to you by Goodrich & Guys. Get the good guys, Goodrich & Guys, Pittsburgh's personal injury attorneys. Ron, what is it with all this newfangled beer, right? Don't you drink old school beer? Whatever happened to good old fashioned Stroh's,
like beer.
Jenny,
you know, somebody,
cream.
You want a pumpkin beer? No. Do you want a citrus beer? No.
They hand them out in little shot glasses and people take notes on them while they're drinking them.
I like regular beer.
Steiny, do you drink this?
No, I'm a traditionalist.
Preferably free and free light. I love those two the best, but beer.
A tray of shot glasses filled with beer, Ron. That's the new tradition. Give me a nice big old Jenny cream filled to the brim.
You haven't drank
in a frozen mug. That's what I want, not a shot glass and a notepad.
Your opinion doesn't matter because you haven't drank in 30 years.
That's right. But when I did, it was Jenny cream.
Man, I make up for you.
All right, coming up, the schedule in the NFL. It's Cookin' Joe. Leaving me all alone. Steiny, this is unprofessional. Would you say that Ron just took off in the middle of the show?
Extremely so. At the beginning of a segment, too.
For donuts.
What kind of donut? That's important.
Did you have any out there?
Not yet. I'll get them after the show.
Oakmont Bakery, I might add.
That's big.
This is an outrage. What am I going to do? I had a segment all planned to talk to Ron since he's the other guy on the show. What do I do here, Steiny? Well, I'll talk to you. Do you look up to Pomp as a mentor because of his voice? It's like yours a little bit?
Yeah, that. He's got good hair. He's successful. Yeah, why not?
Those are three good reasons, right? Your hair is unbelievable, Steiny. It's like an early Elvis Presley. Have people seen photos of you?
Yeah, I think so. You can find me on social media.
Really?
Usually post a haircut photo.
Ron, Steiny and I both determined that it was unprofessional that you left to go talk about donuts with Corey while I was trying to do a segment.
Well,
with
that
you.
Was not that was not the main purpose of my conversation, but she was over there struggling whether she should have one, and I encouraged her to go for one. But then I asked her the question that I needed answered.
Which was what?
It's rather personal.
Steiny, is he allowed to keep that personal?
I think within reason.
Steiny looks up to Pomp, we determined, Ron, because of his hair, his voice, and his career
earnings. Everybody wants to be Pompey Annie.
They really do.
Dancing on TikTok. Has Steiny seen some of Pompey Annie's TikTok work?
Can't miss it.
It's unbelievable, isn't it?
It's actually pretty good.
Steiny, do you sing?
Keep those opinions. That's your opinion. Don't speak for all of us.
Do you sing, Steiny?
No, never.
Would you like to try?
Not in this medium, no.
No? Ron and I are going Christmas caroling after the show if you'd like to join us.
I might do that.
Maybe throw some eggs at houses as well. You want to?
I'm game.
Ron, I'm looking.
Were you a kind of kid that did you toilet paper houses over Halloween when you were
I wound up in a police car for breaking a streetlight one night.
At Halloween?
Or... No. Sometime during the winter. I don't remember when. I think I told you this once. It was my first introduction to the term Europe blanks crick with the word added in.
Oh, yeah.
It was just me and my buddy, Don Braun. We called him Mammal and Bobby Williams, and we were throwing snowballs at streetlights. We were like 13, Ron. Come on.
Did Benk have and to one come of them bail
broke.
You out?
One of them broke. That was not a good phone call to Benk. One of them broke. So some lady called the police, for God's sakes.
Oh, why wouldn't you? You don't want lights broken in
so
your
next
neck.
Thing you know, they've got Mammal in the back of the car. Then they remove Mammal and they put me in there. And the guy says, I'm going to ask you once what happened here. If you don't tell me the same story that guy did, you're up blank's crick. And I was like, wow, I don't know what that means, but I don't want to go there. Whatever that means, I don't want to.
So did you fess up truthfully?
Yeah, I mean, it was kind of obvious. Yeah, we threw a snowball and the thing's broken. Look at it.
Answer my question. Did you TP houses back in the day?
No, I never did that. Did you?
No, never did.
So was that the time that I had to call Benk from the police station? Did they wind up taking us in? I can't remember, but there was one time.
It becomes too confusing when you've gone on multiple occasions.
There was one time I had to make that dreaded the call of shame. Dad, hey, I'm at the police station. Can you come pick me up?
And that was back in the day. Even then, if you got in trouble at school,
yeah,
the punishment at home would be 10 times worse than what it was in school or
for
at
sure.
the police department. Now, I think, and I don't want to speak for all parents, but now the first reaction is to blame somebody else other than your kid.
Yeah.
Oh, it's got to be the teacher's fault. I hate that.
I stole a peanut butter cup once, Ron.
Did you?
Yeah, a place called Super Duper. Also with my dad. Wasn't happy about that. I couldn't believe that they caught me, first of all. I got to the line.
What'd you do? Kind of sneak it into your pocket?
Yes, and the guy said, what's that? I said, it's my wallet. He said, what is it? I said, it's my wallet. And then at that point, my face was burning red. I knew I was busted. And after that, I reformed my life, Ron, which is why I wound up here with you.
Still, Benk and Evie were so glad when you moved out of town.
They weren't displeased when I left. I'm looking at Pitt's future schedules here. Any of these tickle your fancy,
Well,
Ron?
West Virginia the next 4 years interests me.
Wonderful, isn't it?
Yep.
2023, how about this? September 9th, Cincinnati. September 16th. At West Virginia, to be determined at Notre Dame.
That's nice.
That's real
it's
nice.
A little tougher than this year's.
This year's was supposed to be easy, and then Western Michigan showed up, which was unfortunate.
That is correct.
The rematch next year at Western Michigan. 2024 at Cincy, West Virginia, and Youngstown State. You like that, Ron?
Yeah, I don't like the Youngstown State necessarily, but I like the other two.
How about this? 2026-27, a home-and-home with the Fighting Paul Christ, if he's still there.
They're
you
Wisconsin.
Like that one?
Yeah, I do.
I don't like it. I love it.
I do. Penn State opened at Wisconsin. That was a big win for them this year.
And here's an incredible treat, Ron. In 2000, this is the only thing left on their future schedules as of now. In 28, 31, 33, 34, and 36, they play Notre Dame.
I wish they played Penn State, Penn State, Penn State, and Penn State. I'll never see that again in my lifetime, I'm convinced.
Do you
Certainly
think,
in my career, if you had but probably in my lifetime.
Yeah. If you had to bet right now, are you going to be covering the Pitt at Notre Dame game in 2036? Will you? Why wouldn't you be?
Oh, man, let me add up. That would be interesting.
You'd be
I'd be entering into Mickey for Fari.
I was just going to say.
Mickey was in his 90s still.
90s? He was 170 when he covered the last backyard brawl.
I think I'll miss the 2036 game.
I think you're going to be there. You want to
bet? Think we'll be still doing our show then?
Yeah.
I'll bet against that too, probably.
I think we're still going to be doing the show.
I hope we're doing one next week.
It'll be cooking old because we're both going to be 2036. Let me do the math here. That's 15 years from now, right?
Yeah, that's correct.
I got a shot, Ron.
You do. You're a young man. But you're aging poorly.
I know. There's many reasons for that. One of them today is Steiny. I feel like he's trying to usurp our friend Horse.
I'm okay with that.
Actually, so am I.
I'm okay
because
with
Horse
that.
Tried to sabotage him. Steiny, do you like pork rinds?
There we go.
They're okay.
What about Cornish hens?
Never had one.
You know what it is?
Couldn't tell you.
It's a baby chicken. Delicious when stuffed.
I like veal, so I feel like I'd try that.
A veal is a baby cow, Ron.
It is a baby
cow. Would you eat a squirrel, Steiny? A cooked squirrel?
Depends on how it's prepared.
Sauteed, perhaps, with liver?
Maybe deep fried?
Deep fried squirrel.
Try it. Why
You'd
not?
Eat it? Ron, have you ever eaten a squirrel?
I have not and will not.
What's the weirdest, like, meat? That bison.
The only thing that I would say that I've ate is escargot, snails.
Yeah.
That's probably as extravagant as I go. They're so dipped in garlic butter that you get a piece of bread, you get the escargot.
Yeah.
And you dip the bread in the butter, and then you swallow it all. It's good.
Steiny,
we got our What's Cooking segment coming up and our picks.
I know, but we also have Steiny on, and I feel like I haven't made him feel at home enough. Steiny, do you feel welcome here today?
Very much so. I like it. I like it here.
What's the date?
The 17th.
Here we go. I can't go a show without him asking the date. December 17th.
I got to make sure I got the right read here.
I want to say something.
It's only responsible.
When we come back, I got to tease something.
You want to do it now?
Yeah, I will. Tomorrow is an important day for me. Tomorrow is December 18th. That was my late mother's birthday.
Mm.
She would be 99 tomorrow. Mm. She passed a month before last November, a month before her 98th birthday. She would be 99 tomorrow.
Tomorrow.
And God bless you, Ruth. I think about you every single day, and I love you with all my heart.
And it was my mom's birthday yesterday. I didn't realize they were so close.
December 16th and December 18th.
I talked to Evie last night. She turned, 89.
How's her health? Hanging in?
Hanging in.
Well, that's all. At that point, you're happy to be hanging in.
Yes. The short-term memory struggles, but long-term? And she still has a quick wit. Long term, she remembers more stuff than I do.
So she remembers what an idiot you were back in the day.
She'll never forget that. That would be hard to forget. All right, Steiny.